could welcome me. I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died.
Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to the morning faith boost. I believe you're ready for a great time. Yes, that was Who You Are by Hillsong Worship. Beautiful song. I believe you likely were singing along. All right. So praise God. Praise God. Yep. And we are on the fourth episode of our teaching. Yeah, the fourth episode on what you have in Christ. What you have in Christ. This is important. We've got to spend ample time looking through scripture. We've got to spend ample time looking through the Bible, understanding, you know, what the Bible says. You know, what exactly does the Word of God say about us? You know, who does the Word say you are? What does the Word say you have? You know, what does the Word say you can do? Remember, I mentioned the statement made popular by John Osteen. All right. He said, I am what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. But listen, we cannot effectively make a declaration like that without going into scripture and knowing exactly what the scripture says to us. You know, going into scripture, knowing exactly what the scripture says. So yesterday we ended in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. So let's just jump back there. Ephesians chapter 2 and the 10th verse. All right, we of course skipped over, you know, some of the portions, because I just wanted us to get to Ephesians 2 yesterday. And, you know, reason being, you know, Some of us might be used to Ephesians 2, but some others are not. Ephesians 2 is a solid. I mean, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, Colossians, Philippians, the epistles are super loaded, all right? Super loaded. So Ephesians chapter 2 again, and the 10th verse says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in." Okay, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You need to understand. All right, so let me just break it down a little bit, just a little bit. Okay, first, which we talked about yesterday, you know, is we are his workmanship. So, and I said, when you see a solid work of art, when you know, sometimes it could even be, I'm sure you've, you know, maybe been to an event before or looked through pictures and you saw this beautiful, maybe like 7-step cake or like 5-step cake. You're like, oh, wow. Like, seriously, you know, this is a work of art. I mean, you know, you feel like, let's not eat this cake. Let's just keep it. It looks so superb. All right. You have respect for the baker. All right. For, let's say, the master craftsman. Right, because the cake doesn't just look like something to be eaten. It looks like something that was well designed, you know, solid craft work. Same for sculpture, same for artwork, same for furniture. I mean, you just see something like, oh dear Lord, wow, such an amazing work of art. So Bible says you are now God's own handiwork. God worked you. God worked on you. God finished you. And I want you to get this. Okay, so you are the handiwork of God. God is the master craftsman that worked on you. Did you get that? God is the master craftsman. And when I say you, you know, you might quickly want to say me. See my big toe, see my big nose, see my hair, see my fingers, see, you know, and then you want to quickly start pointing out one or two defects that you think you have naturally. See me, I'm shy. See me, I'm not bold. See how I handled my last presentation. See the kind of decisions I made in my business. And then you find every flaw possible and say, no, I know God is good. I mean, I don't have a problem with God, but I'm just not sure I'm as good as you're trying to make me feel. I'm not trying to make you feel good. We're only reading what the Word of God says about you. Once again, you might need to say, I am what the Word says I am. 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 Remember the other statement we've been making? All right? I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by the Word of God. So let the Word of God be what moves you right now. Let the Word of God be what gingers you right now. Is that okay? God's Word. God's Word. So still Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship. The next piece of the verse makes it interesting. Created in Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. So God is now, by this verse, train light on this new workmanship. All right. So if you just stop that, we are his workmanship, I'll say, oh, all of humanity is God's workmanship. And that's true. You know, the Bible in Psalm 139 says, you're faithfully and wonderfully made. So that already says, oh, I mean, fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are his works. My soul knows very well. All right, but now he's not talking about the, you know, initial creation or our being born by our parents. He now goes a step further, you know, and says, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So this verse talks now to you as a new creation. You have to get this. This verse talks about you as a new creation. So you can't now want to interpret the verse and go physical. You can't want to interpret the verse and go mental. You know, you are his workmanship. Allow me read the NLT, all right? NLT is beautiful here. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. So King James says, we are his workmanship created in Christ. So the verse is a new creation verse. It's you say, you know, you being told by God as a new creation, you are a finished work. So if you think you have defects in the old you, your old self, your old kind of life, your old mannerism, your old whatever things, it says, then God recreated you in Christ. God made you anew. God fashioned you. So this is now saying there's something solid about the new you. Are you getting this now? The new you, the one created in Christ, not the one created in the first Adam. This takes us actually back again, you know, to the scripture we read on Monday, Philemon, and the sixth verse that says that the communication of your faith will become effective by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. Philemon and verse 6, the communication of your faith will become effective. You'll be stronger in the communication of your faith by acknowledging. You've got to acknowledge. By acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ. Not just every good thing in you. You have to understand the light of these scriptures is the light of the new creation. The perspective of these verses is in the perspective of the new creation. So you have to acknowledge every good thing in you. But it doesn't stop there. In Christ. So you have to come into the Bible to find out what are those verses about you in Christ. So popular 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Those are one of your realities in Christ. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. All right, so you might have been grumpy, you know, way before you got born again. And many years after you've been born again, you're still grumpy. Or there might have been certain things that happened to you before you got born again. Then now you're born again. These things are still happening or you're still doing these things. Then you go to the Word and say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not even moved by how I act. I'm moved by the Word. If the Word says I'm a new creature, I am a new creature. I believe it. If the Word says all things have passed away, I put my foot where the Word says, and then I declare boldly, irrespective of what I feel, irrespective of what I experience, and I say to myself, all things have passed away. That's how we're going to win. So once again, I'm what the Word says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. Glory to God. Are you getting this? I believe you are. So reading NLT Ephesians 2 and 10 says you are God's masterpiece. And I want you to think about that. You are the work of art, finished, masterpiece. People are checking out and like, oh, wow, wow. Once again, you go like, oh, no, come on now. I don't even like my complexion. I don't even like the way my eyebrows are. I don't even like my height. I don't know. You miss the point again. Do you remember? All right. And just in case you do not remember, do you know? Or maybe now you would know. All right. 1 John and chapter 4 and the 17th verse. 1 John chapter 4 and the 17th verse. All right. Ends by saying, for as he is, so are we in this world. And it's talking about Jesus. All right. For as he is, so are we. Now, if we pick that verse and all right, and think about it, in the physical again, would miss the point. And then you wonder, are you saying I look like Jesus? Am I same height with Jesus? I don't know if, you know, if I qualify to say, no, then you miss it. It's not talking about physical attributes. It's talking once again to the new creation, about the new creation. That God raised you up. We're going to get back, okay, because I'm backtracking, all right, to those verses now. In Ephesians 2. But you've got to understand who you are. You've got to understand what God says about you. This is who you are. You are God's masterpiece. Created. He created us anew. In Christ Jesus. Alright. So he's declaring, you know, or talking to you about the blessed new creation. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Let me read the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. So the new creature is the most glorious specimen upon the face of this earth. The new creature is the most glorious being upon the face of this earth. But trust me, you and I will not walk in this reality if it doesn't dawn on us. You and I will not place the value upon ourselves that God has placed upon us if we don't come to the Word and say, this is what the Word says. Remember 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 boldly declares, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Then in John chapter 8 verse 12, Jesus declares that he is light. But guess what? You know that Matthew says you are also the light. So the attributes, the divine attributes you find in the Father and you find in the Son, you now find the same divine attributes in the new creature. John chapter 5 and 26 says, as the Father has life in himself, he has given to the Son to have life in himself. Did you get that? As the Father has life, eternal life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And then John 10 and 10 says, the Son came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So there is a sharing, all right, a distribution of divine attributes. Jesus in John 17, 22 says, the glory that you've given me, I've given unto them. There's a distribution, a sharing of divine attributes. You and I need to understand, I'm God's work of art. Now, I could tell you to look into the mirror and say it to yourself, but you know that some of us look into the mirror and I want to see it again. Oh, see my ear. See the way it just popping out like that of a whatever. You know, see my, I don't like the way my eyes are just closing. They're just closed. You know, they're not opening. They're not big. Or, see my eyeballs. They're too bulgy. They look like egg. I mean, you just look again and miss the point. The mirror you look at to get your proper identity is the mirror of the Word of God. The mirror of God's Word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So you are God's work of art. You are God's masterpiece. So verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. Let me get back to King James and I'll pick it straight from verse 1. It is beautiful. Beautiful chapter in the Bible. All right. It says, you as a quickened. Okay, let me jump back to NLT for someone's sake. All right. NLT says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature, but by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everybody else. All right, this is descriptive of our past life. Sean says, but this doesn't look like my past. This still looks like how I get to behave right now. Then keep reading and put your foot down and say, the new me is what's in the Word of God. Verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised up Christ from the dead. Even though we're dead because of our sins, he gave us life. Even though we're dead because of our sins, he gave us life. King James says, even though we're dead in our trespasses and sins, now we have been made alive. Made alive together with Christ. Made alive. Are you feeling sometimes, you sometimes feel like, you know, you're far away from God or God is just distant from you? Do you feel spiritually dead, but you know you're born again? You're not guessing? Do you just feel so disconnected from spiritual things? Tell yourself, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. Maybe you're trying to pray about something, get direction on the thought, and then the devil keeps pumping it through your head. You won't hear anything. God's not going to say something to you. You're just too dull spiritually. Tell, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive. It's with your new nature. It's with understanding who you are in Christ. Are you going to fight the fight? This is who I am in Christ. 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 I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive with Christ. To be alive means to be sensitive, to be aware. You've been brought into a new level of operation, to a new nature, to a new face. I'm alive in Christ. Praise God. It says, but God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace I've been saved. Verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Two beautiful things here. He raised us up from the dead along with Christ. You know, we get to celebrate, oh, Jesus died. Oh, Jesus is resurrected. And that's wonderful. Bible says you resurrected with him. I resurrected with him. So now we've been brought into a new life called a resurrected life. That's what we have. It didn't stop there. And then he made us to sit together with him in the heavenly realms. Oh, glory to God. This simply means you have been enthroned. Yeah, you might not naturally come from a royal family. You might not think there's anything good about you. No silver spoon, no wooden spoon, no spoon. But God says you are now enthroned. You've been granted favor by the highest power possible to sit in the highest place possible. That's your testimony. You've been granted favor by the highest power possible to sit in the highest place possible. I know we know that Jesus is seated, but Bible says we're seated with him. You and I have been enthroned. Guys, we're now royalty. We are, you and I, royalty. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. This is who you are in Christ. This is what you have in Christ. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Jesus. You are now royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar person. You. Yes, you. Yes, you. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes, you. You, child of God. So you have to come to terms with who God says you are, what God says you have. Romans in 8:17, you know, lets us know that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with him. The word joint heir, it's deep. You know, very many of these verses in the Bible, if they were not written here, we would say, wow, it's difficult to accept. How could we, who did nothing, who knew nothing, who were just in sin, then suddenly realize that we've been made to be joint heirs with him? We didn't die. We weren't slapped. We didn't have crowns of thorns, you know, put on our head. We didn't have nails pierced on our side. We had nothing happen to us. We just showed up, accepted the gospel, and then enjoyed the blessing. What a life. What a life. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. So you're thinking you're a failure. You're thinking 3-5 things didn't work around you. No, rethink again. Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And he didn't say whosoever, which could make it more exciting. He said whatsoever. So even the venture you got into believing that God led you and God really leading you indeed, that venture will survive because it's born of God. It's an idea from God. But when we don't hold on to it that way, we could let it go and say, well, businesses rise, businesses fall. It's all right. But you say, no, this is born of God. This is not me thinking. This is not me trying to think. No, this is me knowing that I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. Do you know, as part of you being God's heir, you have access to the angels of God? Now, if that might not necessarily mean every day you have to say, angels, go forth. Now, there's a place to do that, really, yes. But I'm saying even when you give command or you speak God's word, and that's why I keep saying no matter what happens, don't say the wrong thing. Because blessed, you know, the Lord, you his angels, the Bible says, that hearken in strength, you know, that excel in strength, that hearken to the voice of his word. You know, I know sometimes we want to, you know, just, oh, how you doing? I've seen better days. It may sound nice, but you're just simply saying this day is not as great as some others. You're judging again by the natural. You're judging again by the experience. Why don't you keep the word going? This is the day the Lord has made. You don't have to say, I've seen better days. I've seen better days. No, say the right thing. Say the right thing. Because the angels are working behind the scene. The Holy Ghost is working behind the scene. The favor of God is working behind the scene. And even when things look horrible, like we've had to say, I mean, life was, this was beyond life just happening. All right. Things were getting horrible for Joseph. He was moving from the frying pan, all right, to fire, and then maybe into the gas cooker, the oven. I mean, he was just moving. And then as each thing got worse, he was only getting closer to the throne. Now, that doesn't have to be anybody's story. But that just is an encouragement. While we look at the things we see, we need to also keep our eyes on the things we don't see. Keep your eyes on the promises. Keep your eyes on the eternal facts of God's word. Keep your eyes on those and keep saying to yourself, no matter how my life goes south, it's going to come back in the direction of God's word. Your life is built to align with the word of God. You are what the word says you are. You are what the word says you are. You are what the word says you are. So allow me end this morning with Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians, the third chapter of Galatians. Oh, I love Galatians. Really, if you've not had time to read Galatians, please do. Galatians chapter 3. So the 16th verse of Galatians 3. So in Galatians 3:16, Bible says that God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Galatians 3:16. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. You got to get this. God gave the promises, all right? I'm sure you know God gave loads of promises to Abraham. And all of us grew up always singing Abraham's blessings are mine. So you got to get this. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Notice the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. All right, so that means the Bible is saying that the promise God gave to Abraham isn't naturally speaking, isn't spiritually speaking to Isaac, you know, Jacob and Joseph. Really? Yeah, that's what he's saying. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Notice the scripture doesn't say to his descendants as if it meant many, to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ. So Christ Jesus is the authentic seed, or Christ rather, is the authentic seed of Abraham. Not the other natural seeds we get to look at. Christ. So all the blessing God gave to Abraham, when God said to Abraham, to you and your seed, 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 that means to you and to Christ. So look at the 29th verse, all right? 29, all right? Verse 29 of Galatians 3. And now that you, all right, you listening to me, now that you belong to Christ, all right, you are Abraham's true children. You are now the true child of Abraham. You are his heir. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. This is one of those wow, let me get excited verses in the Bible. Or this is one of those, how come I forgot this verse? Guys, this is a verse to fight a solid fight of faith with. And this leads us to what we'll deal with a lot better tomorrow. Bible is saying that now that you belong to Christ, now that you are born again, you are the true children. But in your own specific case, you are the true child of Abraham. You are his heir, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. That means when God was blessing Abraham and his child, blessing Abraham and his child, blessing Abraham and his child, God was blessing Abraham and you. That means you can look at every word that was given to the children of Israel as a blessing and say, this is mine. Why? Because the blessing was authentically to Abraham and his seed, and I'm the seed of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Once again, this is one of those in Christ verses. This is you realizing your nature, your identity in Christ Jesus. You are the seed of Abraham. You are the child of Abraham. Every promise God gave to Abraham belongs. You're going to deal with that tomorrow. I believe it will really, really be exciting. In the meantime, please keep keeping your heart in the right place. Keep keeping your heart on the identity, on who God says you are. Once again, I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. I believe you've been blessed. All right, so looking forward to having you join me once again tomorrow. Have a solid, blessed-filled, wisdom-filled, and beautiful day. Blessings.